Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international depression.
Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
All right, welcome to Monday. And unfortunately, it's a bit of a somber Monday for me, Sue, and I'll explain everything here this afternoon as we get going. First of all, how are you?
I am fine. Now you're freaking me
out
a little bit.
Well, there's just some sad stories to share, unfortunately. And I do have one positive story. Let me kind of lead with the positive, which is... And it kind of ties into the negative. So let me start with the positive here. You know Chris Smith, who's been on the show before. Chris was almost killed last Thanksgiving, the night before, when a piece of human debris tracked the woman that he was going out with to his home in Farmersville, Illinois. She was shot dead. She was assassinated. And then Chris, you know, spent a month and a half in the hospital on life support. And he had surgery on Friday that replaced a part of his skull. And he is back in the game, even more so than the doctors had expected.
Wow, that's terrific.
So that is fantastic news. Now, on the heels of that, and I do find it very strange and telling and troubling, Sue, I will have to say this, that I've never known, to my knowledge, I don't know if I knew anyone up until last November who was shot point blank in the head. And unfortunately, now I know two people, and the other person did not survive this weekend. My friend Chris Brennan passed away at the age of 47. He was killed in the Shaw neighborhood on Friday night, and I will tell you what happened here. So I
am so sorry. I heard that story this morning.
I didn't know it was him. So I've known Chris for a long time. He's in a circle of friends with my good friend Andrew Mullins, and I hadn't seen him in years, but we used to play poker together. There was a stretch probably 10 years ago that a bunch of us would get together and we'd play poker. We played at Chris's apartment, and he was like the eternal bachelor for the longest time, and he finally got married. His wife Liz, I'm told, unfortunately had to witness what happened the other night. He's got a little boy a little African-American boy that they adopted, and there's quite a bit of irony in that, I think, when you hear the story. So this happened on Friday night, and, you know, I can check my text because, Sue, I've told you before, I don't go, you know, as hog wild on the weekends. I try to get away from it, especially because there's usually depressing news and things like that. And even on the Sunday morning shows, I catch up on Monday.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to get away from it. We all do that on the weekends. But I saw this this story yesterday morning, and, you know, my mom and dad were in town for my niece's graduation. So I was tooling around on Twitter, and I saw Alexis Zotos had tweeted something out about something, and I guess I completely missed this on Saturday because it was a rainy day.
I missed it. I didn't hear it till today.
So her tweet was actually, I think, from Saturday, but I saw it, and it said, a neighbor was killed last night in Shaw. From what we're hearing from neighbors, he was shot by a random person in his backyard, but this is all that the SLMPD has released. So I sent that to Jane Duker, and I said, this is terrible. And she's like, yeah, it's unreal. You know, and I'm just commenting on this from the perspective of someone who lives in St. Louis, is horrified by the level of crime. And I don't think I know this person who was killed and shot in the head. So it took me until this morning when I was going to an appointment, and I happened to, I don't really do much on Facebook these days, but I do tool around and see what people are posting. And I like to see my Facebook memories from when my daughter was younger, right?
People have been graduating. And it's been nice to see.
I saw these messages about Chris. Now, here's one of the reasons I was confused. In my memory, because I actually looked, the original story said something about Mike Brennan or Michael Brennan. And forgive me, I'm not sure if that was maybe his first name or if he went by his middle name.
Right.
But it was confusing to me because when I saw the name, I thought, well, I don't have any connection to this. So I'm tooling through Facebook this morning and I saw reference to this from my aforementioned friend Andrew's wife who had commented. So I called him and I said, I'm a little confused by something. And he said, yeah, Chris is dead. And for those people who aren't aware of the story, so what I know is, and they do have the guy in custody.
Yes, they do.
It's a guy who was known, by the way, in that area. I'm going to say that St. Louis Alderwoman Annie Rice has blood on her hands because she is someone who stands lockstep with Ms. Defund the Police, Cori Bush. That's what Annie Rice is all about. This guy was well known in this area, breaking into businesses, assaulting people. He goes into the backyard. This is where I'm a little confused on some of the details, but apparently this was all caught on Chris's Ring camera.
Oh, gosh.
He did not have a firearm. He engaged with this guy. I don't know if the guy was trying to rob him from his garage, and there was a scuffle. And in front of his wife, this guy pulls out the gun, shoots him, including a shot to the head.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, obviously the neighbors are, this is a neighborhood that's very tight.
Yes, it really is.
I don't even know how to,
I'm
you know,
so sorry
how to really respond to. Well, it's not really me. I mean, as much as the fact that I knew him, it's his family. It's Liz. It's his son, Andrew. It's the people. I just read a post on Facebook before we started the show from his goddaughter, who on his Facebook page, you know, people are posting now. And I just read this devastating post from his goddaughter that was just terrible. And, we're now. I got another one for you, okay? So just hang on, unfortunately. I wish I could start the show in a more positive way, but I cannot. And this is very representative of what's happening in this city and in this culture right now. And it's horrifying. So coming on the heels of this, I was talking to some people in the building, and somebody said to me, did you hear about Ben Boyd's little brother? Now, Ben Boyd was in our building for the longest time. Ben was executive sports director at KMOX. There was a woman by the name of Ann Carroll who retired at the Cardinals. And Ben took over. He got a great promotion.
Yeah, he
deserved
did.
It. He took over the broadcast affiliate position with the St. Louis Cardinals. So he works with everyone on the radio network. And Ben's a guy who's got, you know, connections in media. He was perfect for that particular role. Well, many years ago, he had gotten involved in Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Mm. And he's one of the people that inspired me because I took part in that program for many years until COVID. And we, Cameron, my little brother, I've been with him maybe 7 or 8 years, but we sort of separated from the pack because of the COVID rules. We still get together, but we're not a part of that program. Ben had a little brother named Jarvis, and I don't know exactly when they hooked up, but it was when Jarvis was probably under the age of 10 years old. He would bring him in here into the station. We all met him on several occasions, and he just graduated from high school. I was told that he was in the top 5 of his class.
Oh.
He was murdered over a pair of shoes, his body dumped in a parking lot like he was a piece of garbage. And
was this,
you know,
over the weekend?
Yeah. I don't even know how I can get my arms around some of these things. And all I would say to those people listening today is if you're having a bad day or if you're looking at the stock market, if you're bummed out or you're annoyed by someone, just think about some of the things that people in our community are going through right now because of a crazy, crazy level of violence and depravity that it's just completely out of control. It really is.
I hope they protest. I hope that something has got to trigger some sort of action for prosecution, for letting the police actually do their jobs. And maybe some of this will spark it.
I don't know what will. I really don't.
Oh,
now,
it's outrageous. I am so sorry.
I don't even
want to
mention
families.
This guy's name. I'll mention it one time. Kyle Stone, who's 20 years old. Fortunately, they found him. He faces first-degree murder and armed criminal action charges. Now, you know, if we're being honest, and I don't say this with snark, do you have the confidence that the prosecutor, our circuit attorney, Kim Gardner, is going to look at this as a murder case or as a social worker and try to help Kyle Stone because he has issues that led him to shoot my friend in the head in front of his wife the other night in the Shaw neighborhood? It's outrageous. Now, I give credit to the judge because the judge kept him behind bars without bond because he considers him a danger to the community because he is a danger
to the community. Clearly.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I don't know about the details of Jarvis and if someone's been arrested with that, but it's undescribable, really, what's happening. And this is happening to a lot of different people. I mean, there's different levels of crime. But when you get into the violent crime, and here's something that I guess ties into that, which is I don't know what this city's going to do, but here's the effort to reduce violent crime in downtown. They have worked with this sounds comical that I'm even going to tell you this, especially given the fact that I just told you about these two tragedies that took place. But they are working with the electric scooter company to shut down the service at 7 p.m. in the downtown area. Here's why. Because there are kids that are out of control. Now, this happened with the Annie Malone Day parade a week ago. And there were kids, I don't know, we talked about it on Friday during the roundtable. Jane and I discussed it. It was sickening if you see some of the video. I'll also say this. I got to be careful here because if I make any kind of comment along the lines of what I want to say here, then I'm going to be a racist, right? I'm going to be a white supremacist. But I got to tell you something. This is out of control. And Dan Isom, who I used to have some level of respect for, who's the public you know, safety director, used to be the chief of police, should be absolutely embarrassed that he doesn't have a bigger set on him, which I thought he would as a law enforcement guy, to put the hammer down with our reckless, irresponsible embarrassment of a mayor to say, we have big, big problems in this flippant city, and you're not doing anything about them. Mayor Tashara Jones, Annie Rice, the rest, Corey Bush. You want to come and tell Jarvis's family and Ben Boyd, you know, about defunding the police when he gets killed over a set of shoes? You want to tell Chris Brennan's family that you're going to defund the police when he's shot in the head in front of his wife and he's got a 2-year-old kid that will never see his father again? Now, in this story that is in the paper right now or on the website for STL Today, they talk about how, you know, it's a safety issue. You have all these kids on the electric scooters. They're out of control. They quote a guy. I don't know this guy, Brad Waldrop. It says he's a commercial broker who owns property on Washington Avenue. And he said he had recently counted 1,000 scooters in the downtown area at one time. So the story says that after the parade, the companies told the Post-Dispatch they would work with the city to solve issues that were occurring. But there's also a quote in here. I got to get to this because there was somebody. Oh, Waldrop says that he said he does not believe the program, which began last year, is working. Now, he was talking about the situation with I want to make sure I get this right, which is cracking down on crime in, you know, in the city, because, you know, business leaders have come forward to the mayor and to others and say, look, we got to get a hold of this. So Waldrop says, and he gave credit originally to Tashara Jones, the mayor. He said they have not asked to meet with us. Only groups who are meeting with the administration is Greater St. Louis Inc. They seem to want to be the voice for downtown, and they're not. They're not in the weeds like we are. So he's calling for a 7 p.m. curfew in the area for minors. There were 21 cars that were broken into, 2 firearms stolen out of those vehicles downtown over the weekend. Now, let's keep in mind that this was another horrifying stat from last week, where there was one reporter, I think it was another Channel 4 reporter, who had reported 56 instances of children being shot in the city of St. Louis this year, many of whom have died. So the violence is out of control. The mayor is completely silent. We barely have a police chief because Hayden, who was a complete disaster and mess and an embarrassment, and he didn't have a set either. He retires. He gets his pension and gets paid all this money because he was chief and he got the elevated salary, so he probably gets a benefit from that. Didn't do anything to reduce the level of violent crime. Now, I'm fully aware that it's not in the capacity of just the mayor or just the chief of police or just the alderwoman, Annie Rice, or someone like that. But there's an effort on all of those parts to not help with public safety, but to fight against public safety because they're so afraid of what the progressives are going to think if you say anything nice about the cop or the cops. So I wonder if any of these, you know, anti-police, defund the police types, like Corey Bush and others, have had people who have died in front of them, or family members, or friends, because it's hard for me to believe that they haven't had friends that are the victim of crime, because everybody has now in this city. So, I'm apoplectic about this, because it seems like, and Sue, you've only known me really on the radio for a year, maybe some of the listeners have as well, this is something that I've been yelling and screaming about for a long time.
With good reason.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was told time and time again, because what I did consistently after what happened with Mike Brown, which, you know, still is misinterpreted on the national level today, to say, hey, you know what? The problem really isn't the white cops in Ferguson or in the city of St. Louis. It's sadly, and Heather McDonald has put this into actual science, it is African-Americans killing African-Americans, African-Americans killing other people in the city of St. Louis. And it's happening at such an alarming rate, we cannot control it at this point. And there doesn't seem to be any interest in controlling it. This would be, now I know that words are just words, but I said this at one point with Lyda Crewson. There's another embarrassment whose husband was murdered. Husband was murdered in the Central West End. And Lyda Crewson, these are the moments where I can't say on the radio the things I want to say in the language that I really want to use with her and some of these other people that are the embarrassment. These are supposed to be the leaders, right? You're not leading Tashara Jones.
Nope.
You're not leading Annie Rice. You're allowing people to be killed under your watch.
On a regular basis. And then not prosecuting the people who do it.
Which exacerbates the problem. But I would say for years, you know, that's not the problem. And people would say, oh, you're conflating the issues. Those are two separate things. Well, one of those things is happening at an alarming rate. It's a pandemic, if you will, okay? Or an endemic. Let's see, it's not worldwide, right? It's an endemic. Mm-hmm. It's a crisis. When's the last time a white cop has shot someone in the city of St. Louis, in the state of Missouri, a white cop or a black cop, someone who was unarmed and wasn't threatening them? When is the last time that happened? Because to believe Cori Bush in the Washington Post and elsewhere, you think it would happen every single day around the city of St. Louis. But in fact, it's the opposite. It's innocent people that are just hanging out in their neighborhood with their neighbors and their family on a Friday night, shot point blank in the head. That's the city that we live in right now. I want to say one more thing about Chris Brennan, my friend who was shot and killed in the Shaw neighborhood on Friday night. You know, Sue, I always kind of joke about this just a little bit. You know, when people pass away, you start to think about the comments that they have, that people have about other people when they're gone. And I joke a lot, man, I don't think anyone's going to have good things to say about me when I'm gone.
That's not true.
Probably not. But I bring it up because, honest to God, this was a guy. I don't remember seeing Chris Brennan without a big smile on his face. I never, ever remember seeing him in a bad mood. You know, and that's the kind of guy that he was. And I'm reading the posts on the Facebook page. And again, I haven't seen him in years. I looked at the text messages. The last time we communicated was about trying to get together because this gang who had been playing poker a lot, we just had, you know, everyone gets busy.
Yeah.
And then he got, I think a lot of people were surprised because he got married and it was awesome that he found someone because he was, like I said earlier, the eternal bachelor. But I wanted to say that because I know that people knew him like that, where he was this positive influence. And why is it that the people that seem to offer the most are the people who are taken? I don't know. Anyway, I was going to do something here this afternoon, and I was going to bare my soul just a little bit, but I think I've done that, so yeah. I'm not going to bare my soul on the topic that I was going to. However, I have something that's a bit... Well, I got to be careful what I say here. It's somewhat related, and I'll explain later in the week maybe how it's related. But as you well know, I've talked a lot about the situation with trans kids, and I suppose I'd be on Team Dave Chappelle with some of this. And by the way, I don't know if you saw, but the guy who tried to, well, whatever he tried to do to Dave Chappelle, do you know what's going on with him? You know, they were going to charge him with a misdemeanor, but now they've charged him with attempted murder, but not because of Chappelle. It was another case that they found that they could kind of pin him to.
Oh, that's interesting. As I recall, he had a fake gun. So yeah. It wasn't a gun, but there was a knife inside of it.
Right, but they didn't think because the knife was in the bag that he had used that. Isaiah Lee is his name, and he's being charged with misdemeanors over that. But again, the attempted murder charge, I guess, is still out there. He admits now that he was triggered as a bisexual man by what Dave Chappelle said.
Oh,
I identify as bisexual, and I wanted him to know what he said was triggering. Oh, yeah, so you go on stage and you try to attack him and maybe kill him. That's a good thing to
that
do.
That seems sensible.
So there's a group out there that I've mentioned, Parents with Inconvenient Truth About Trans, PIT, P-I-T-T. Substack's been printing a lot of the parents, and this sort of piggybacks on something, again, that is somewhat connected personally, where there was a friend and acquaintance who reached out when I was talking about some of these issues to say he's got a horrible situation with his 13-year-old daughter who is confused about gender identity, is cutting herself, all these terrible, terrible things. So I think it's important to recognize that this stuff is happening in a lot of families with a lot of kids. And this is a double whammy, what I'm about to read you here from someone who wrote this to Pitt. And this isn't anonymously written, as you might understand, because if you identify the people, they're going to, you know, be attacked. So this was a teacher. And the headline of this is, I'm not the same teacher. But again, there's a couple of different aspects to that. This. I'm guessing it could be a she, it could be a he, I have no idea. It says, early in the school year, I attended a meeting. I entered the room not knowing that this year, after a quarter century in education, was to be markedly different for me. That day, I chatted easily with my fellow educators, all of us refreshed from the summer break. Looking back, I vividly remember how sunshine streamed in from the windows, how excited everyone was to meet in person, and how many were dressed in new professional
attire, you know, because you had the COVID situation and everyone was back into school. So she gets in, and on the agenda in that particular day was equality. The presenters, district administrators, smiled brightly as they explained to us, and I don't know where this is, by the way, because it's anonymous, so I'm not sure what market this is or what city, but the presenters smiled brightly as they explained to us that we must use a student's preferred name when asked. It was no different than using a nickname for a student, they quickly assured us. Parents are not to be informed. That would be outing a student and putting them in harm's way. Failure to do so, the administrator explained, while continuing to smile, would be in violation of Title IX. This quick announcement left my mind as both a teacher and, this is where it turns a little interesting, a parent of a gender-questioning teen reeling with questions. And some of the questions that the teacher has here are pretty legitimate, like, was calling a female student a traditionally male name actually akin to using a nickname? Are these interventions something schools should be deciding without parental or expert input? You know, one of the questions here is, you have to get, I just had to sign off on this. As a parent, if there's a field trip, you have to give permission for your child to participate
yes.
in a field trip. But if you announce a trans identity, you don't have to worry about that at all. Schools are going to get involved. The parents are out of there. So the teacher in the series of questions says, what if a student still realizing their sexuality was confused? Wouldn't families eventually get wind of the new name? Would this make it worse for the student? What expertise did the presenters have with trans youth? Who wrote the guidelines for trans-identifying youth? Why were we only hearing about the new guidelines for these particular students and not for any other students under the ever-growing LGBTQA plus umbrella? And why now? And then they talked about gender support plans. So the teacher writes, I'm sure that the many veteran educators were like me, both stunned and in the current polarized climate, afraid of misspeaking and being deemed bigots. And I'm sure that we didn't wholly understand the ramifications of what we're being asked to take part in. So they write that the meeting shifted gears, quickly moved on to cultural sensitivity. The same speaker asked a participant to share a story. The educator explained that her second grade teacher inexplicably could not pronounce Josefina, and she was dubbed Joan for the rest of her school days. Her old friends still know her as Joan. There was an audible gasp, collectively. I can't imagine not making an effort, this is what the teacher wrote, to pronounce a student's name. At the same time, I was finding a sad irony that we teachers had no observable reaction to being informed that if James told us he's now Sandra, we must immediately oblige. I was wondering if referring to Josefina as Joan was life-changing for our colleague. How was calling a biological male student a traditionally female name dealt with so flippantly? It's an interesting little juxtaposition there. And what would happen if a teacher, all of whom are well-versed in adolescent development, questioned the wisdom of this approach? It's likely we probably would have been escorted out of the building. So because the topic is taboo, discourse is shut down amongst people who have vast experience working with children and adolescents, and the power to affirm the identity, even if parents do not believe it's in the child's best interest. It's possible, they wrote, that this was the day while I was playing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Connect the dots in the meeting that my own son, who had once had such extreme anxiety that he struggled to address adults, contacted school staff to request that he be addressed by a new name and pronoun. This move was against the advice of his doctor, who had known him his entire life, and his parents, the person who's writing this column. Now, I'm going to do a couple more things here and take a break. You have to hear the audio that I have from Bill Maher that ties in with this completely, because it's a really good fit on this Monday. So the teacher writes about her, his or her son. When the pandemic started, so did puberty for my son. Quietly suffering from undiagnosed depression, my tech-savvy son had turned online. In a Discord chat room for coders, he began corresponding with several trans-identifying participants. Both his new online community and teachers found out he was going by his new preferred name before we, his parents, did. So I had a front row seat to how schools superseding parental authority plays out. It was ugly. And it was dangerous because we were in the dark regarding the name change at school. We didn't make the connection that my son's sudden behavioral outbursts were caused in part because he realized that after going by a new name, he was still deeply in pain and depressed. He had clung to this idea that if he transitioned, it would resolve his anxiety and depression. But he was realizing it didn't, and that he had made a very public mistake in changing his name. And we were not in the best position to support him because for the time, we did not know. When he let me know that he no longer considered himself trans, and by the way, this is very common for those people out there. This is why this is such a big issue. These kids think they're trans. Bill Maher's going to make a brilliant point on this. Look, can we go back to the 1980s when I was in? How many trans kids were there? Now there's 80% of the kids in high school are trans.
Well, that makes no sense.
Well, of course not. It's nonsense. So this goes on, and I do want to get to this audio, but it's kind of horrifying. She writes, I spoke to an old friend, a gay liberal librarian, regarding a social media post. A day later, she contacted me for resources. A friend of hers had 8 girls in a homeschool group identifying as trans. I spoke to an award-winning teacher and highly respected community member who told me in recent years she had 2 male students who came out as gay, then trans. Both realized they were gay before pursuing a medical route. She expressed concern that the gender nonconforming gay youth, may pursue a medical route while not being developmentally able to understand the lifelong consequences. I spoke to teachers who discovered at meetings and conferences that parents were not informed of the student's preferred name and pronoun update. One went home and watched a Swedish documentary and, disturbed, grabbed me the next day to discuss it. I spoke to a neighbor with high schoolers who told me of a young man in the community just out of high school who was detransitioning and now sterile. I talked to another educator who spoke of a student who medically transitioned while in high school. The student attempted suicide not long after graduating. I spoke to a high school counselor who had 5 students asked to change their name and pronouns in the first semester of this school year. And I spoke to her boss, the head counselor, who asked me what social transitioning was. I mean, this is, and some of the other details in here are even more shocking for parents. And I'll get to that in the Bill Maher audio, which ties in coming up next. Quite the Monday, isn't it? Hey, on the Cardinals topic, Danny Mac's going to join us a little bit later in the 5 o'clock hour. So we'll have fun with him. We have Cusumano coming up as well at 4:45. Sue's News in the next hour. So just quickly here on this posting on Substack by the trans parent and teacher. The teacher is not trans, but, expressing outrage by what's happening in the schools and with this person's own son. And this was rather shocking, too, to close the column out. They write, I now know that a teacher messaged my son how proud she was of him coming out and living authentically. In her month of becoming acquainted, with my son and 125 others, did she know that he had never shown signs of gender nonconformity as a child? With her surface knowledge, did she realize what hormone therapy and gender affirmation surgery entails? I got to tell you, if one of these teachers gets involved with my daughter and does something, or if I get wind of something like this, it's not going to be a good situation. There's likely handcuffs that would be involved for me because some of these things, and if you're in the teaching profession, good Lord, your profession has been turned upside down in the last couple years, and you need to take it back from these administrators and this nonsense. Because this person writes, I've had to wrap my mind around the idea that my son sits each day in a classroom led by someone excited by the idea that he was taking steps toward this. And that's what some of these teachers are doing. And they should be booted out of the profession. Months later, this person writes, another teacher pulled my son into a storage room to probe for details on why he was now going by his birth name again. Just when you thought this couldn't get more outrageous. Why on earth did she believe this was acceptable? Did it really not occur to her that trans-identifying teens like others their age are also prone to act impulsively with little regard to consequences. Had she ever seen a teen try on an identity or belief and cast it back when it didn't fit? Or did she believe that she knew what was in the best interest of my child? Look, I said this last summer, and I stand by it. And those of you who might be on the left need to realize this, that parents are going to win these issues, okay? Those of you who are progressives who think all this is fine, you're going to lose. And you're in the process of losing this, and it needs to be highlighted more often. The only problem with this particular column is nobody's going to hear it unless you listen to my show right now or you're on this newsletter. You're not going to hear it on CNN.
Nope.
You won't even hear it on Fox, probably. So this person says this: families are slowly waking up and smelling the coffee and realizing what is taking place in the schools. The anger of parents whose children have been introduced to the gender-bred person or the socially transitioned belief behind their backs in schools has been underestimated. Schools, a major source of affirmation, are fast becoming the next and maybe last battleground in the gender war. And this is real. Now I get to Bill Maher. All this ties in. Now, granted, he's using humor, but he's using it very appropriately.
Broken down over time, the LGBT population of America seems to be roughly doubling every generation.
Yeah.
According to a recent Gallup poll, less than 1% of Americans born before 1946, that's Joe Biden's generation, identify that way. 2.6% of boomers do. 4.2% of Gen X, 10.5% of millennials, and 20.8% of Gen Z, which means if we follow this trajectory, we will all be gay in 2054.
Yeah. Basically, by 2054, the planet won't even be here because, you know, climate change is going to erase that. But we're all going to be gay at that point.
When things change this much, this fast, people are allowed to ask, what's up with that? All the babies are in the wrong bodies?
Yeah.
Was
right.
there a mix-up at the plant, like with Cap'n Crunch's Oops All Berries? It wasn't that long ago when adults asked a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? They meant, what profession?
Now, again, Bill's using humor here. This is what he does, but he's using it effectively, but he's also asking some pretty serious, tough questions.
In the wake of America about to lose abortion rights, the ACLU recently tweeted a list of those who would be disproportionately harmed by this. You would think women might top that list. No, wasn't even on the list. Second on the list was LGBT. Really? Abortion rights affects gay and trans people more than, you know, breeders? I'm happy for LGBT folks that we now live in an age where they can live their authentic lives openly. And we should always be mindful of respecting and protecting. But someone needs to say it. Not everything's about you.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, and I think, I don't know if he addresses this here. I've said this before, and this is real as well. And it's incumbent upon lesbian and gay people to be more forward with this. There's a big divide here between LGB and the rest of it. After the T, you start going, especially with the generation gap, because there are older gay people who, you know, went through a lot of fights and couldn't even come out in the 1980s or 90s that are now looking at some of this stuff with kids in particular saying, you're out of your mind. This is crazy. And Bill Maher points out, we are literally experimenting on some of these kids.
We're literally experimenting on children. Maybe that's why Sweden and Finland have stopped giving puberty blockers to kids, because we just don't know much about the long-term effects. Although common sense should tell you that when you reverse the course of raging hormones, there's going to be problems. We do know it hinders the development of bone density, which is kind of important if you like having a skeleton. Fertility and the ability to have an orgasm seem also to be affected. This isn't just a lifestyle decision, it's medical. Weighing trade-offs is not bigotry. Yet when a book questioning the sudden uptick in transitioning children was released, a trans lawyer with the ACLU named Chase Strangio tweeted, stopping the circulation of this book and these ideas is 100% a hill I will die on. How very civil liberties of him.
Yeah, well, Bill deserves a lot of credit here because he's going on a limb and he's going to be attacked in the same way that Chappelle was. But he's raising great questions. Here's something else. I love the fact that he's saying all this so then I don't have to say it and I can just act like he's saying it so then I don't have to have the hate email or something like that. But what about this question?
Dr. Erica Anderson is a prominent 71-year-old clinical psychologist who is herself transgender and who now says, I think it's gone too far. The LA Times summarizes She's come to believe that some children identifying as trans are falling under the influence of their peers and social media. If you attend a small dinner party of typically very liberal, upper-income Angelenos, it is not uncommon to hear parents who each have a trans kid having a conversation about that. What are the odds of that happening in Youngstown, Ohio? If this spike in trans children is all natural, why is it regional? Either Ohio is shaming them or California is creating them.
Yeah, so that that's a great question. It is, and I've wondered the same thing, what's going on. But this is it
it's
is
a
more than just
question.
On the coast, and it's spreading because of these chat rooms. I'm not trying to make a direct connection with what happened with the piece of human debris in Buffalo, but let's face it, some of these things are happening with these kids at the same age, and they're confused, they're depressed, they're isolated, they're going into these chat rooms, and they're believing a lot of this nonsense, whether it's on the trans issue or on white supremacy or whatever you want to call it. It is a major crisis right now, and I give Bill Maher credit for addressing it the way that he did.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.